B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stidham really reminds me as a player, Mike. My comparison to him was Tony Romo. I thought he was a stronger-armed Tony Romo when I watched him at Auburn. I'm not surprised to hear the praise for him. You know, I've been hearing it, and I saw it on film when I watched him and evaluated him coming in the draft. I think he's got a chance to be a long-time starting quarterback in the NFL.
Again, Chris Sims, high on Jared Stidham. I consider that high praise to say a guy's Tony Romo. But a lot of you, I think what this comes down to, and Murray, I'm looking at you, baby, virtually. You got to get realistic. Like, just because a guy's not Tom Brady, it doesn't mean everybody sucks, you know? And the next guy's not going to be Tom Brady. And the next guy's going to have some problems. And the next guy, you're not going to like this, that, or the other. I mean, you just, not every guy is Tom Brady. So, like, if you have a guy with talent that... And the whole point of keeping Bill and letting Brady go is that Bill works with the next guy and develops the next guy. So if you have a guy with skill and talent and Bill can coach the faults out of him, like, that's the idea. So if your next guy is Tony Romo, or you think, you know, again, if you're one of these guys that think Jameis Winston can be that guy or Cam Newton still has something left, then, oh my God, take it and run, Murray. Take it and run.
Yeah, well, I don't think as highly of Belichick as you do. And again, I don't get the invites on the boat, so I can understand where you're coming from and why you're biased there.
Fair point. And if someone used
the comp of Joe Flacco, I could live with that. I know the next guy's not going to be Brady. No one's going to be Brady. But if I heard Flacco, and he obviously has his faults, I'd be okay with that, because at least Flacco caught fire and won a Super Bowl and was the Super Bowl MVP. Romo, while talented...
Hold on. You'd rather have Joe Flacco than Tony Romo?
Yep.
Oh, stop it.
Yep, had balls. He had balls, unlike Romo, who was an inherent loser. And now, this generation's Romo, Jimmy Garoppolo, I want no part of either. So those guys have the inherent gutlessness. I don't care if you're Belichick or God. You're not going to beat it out of them. So it depends on the comp. That's why I get my backup about Romo. You'll win 10 or 11 games. You'll still be competitive. You'll get primetime games. All that's neat. You'll never win a title with Tony Romo.
Murray, it's situational. Some of it's situational. Romo had some problems early in his career in big games. He was fine at the end, and if you look at it, I saw him lose plenty of playoff games that he had nothing to do with. That game in Green Bay that they lost. Remember the play where Dez Bryant was ruled incomplete at the pylon?
Right.
That horrible call. Dallas should have won that ball game. Then there was a playoff game I guess they won this against Detroit. That was one that they won. But anyway, I think by the end, Romo was fine in big games. The team just wasn't good enough. And Joe Flacco went on one run, Murray. He beat you a couple times,
yep.
But that doesn't mean that he was a great quarterback. He went on one run. Other than that, jump ball Joe. He was always an interception waiting to happen, too. Tony Romo was a far more talented guy than Joe Flacco. Give me that.
I'd rather stones than talent. Flacco had stones.
He was stiff.
Good God. Murray, I just think you're looking for something that ain't going to happen. Like, I mean, you have this ideal up there that is just, I think it's unrealistic, man.
Well, I just have, I know what I like.
Okay. So the question is, Cody Kessler gone, which isn't really the news. Like, a lot of you out there didn't even know who Cody Kessler is. I'm still not even sure exactly who he is. But he was the third quarterback.
He was the quarterback that the Patriots had to sign so that Tom Brady could take Wednesdays off and not practice.
Okay, there you go. There you go. They did sign the third guy last year, who's a former third-round pick. So at one point, where do you go to college, Maz? Do you even know that?
No clue.
Okay, I didn't bother to look it up because I don't give two rat farts about Cody Kessler. But it's what he represents. He was the third guy. He was a veteran guy. He has kicked around the league. Does have a couple starts to his name. Was once a third-round pick, so there was some talent there. Is some talent there, and you let him go. When you didn't really have to, there's nothing pressing, there's no camps, there's no money due, there's no practices coming up, there's no roster spots that need to be preserved unless there is. Or is it a situation where you like the kid, he helped you out last year, and so you're doing him a solid, you know he's not going to make the roster, and so you let him go now so he has a chance to find another job. And you know he's not going to make the roster now because something's coming. And the only names I care about in terms of whether it's a story or not are Winston and or Newton. And if it means they're just clearing him out for a draft pick, well, why don't they wait a couple weeks again unless they're just doing him a solid? But then that means they got someone targeted at the draft they know they're going to get. So what does that mean? So that's what we're discussing right now with your phone calls. Let's bring on Drew in Billerica. He joins us first this hour on Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. Hi, Drew.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, I just wanted to hear your thought on Cam Newton going home to the Falcons and then the Falcons shipping Matt Ryan up to New England also going home. I know the contract situation would be a little screwy, but I just want to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay, so I'm a no on that unless Matt Ryan says you can tear up my contract and pay me virtually nothing. You know, if Matt Ryan comes to me on the same kind of contract I'm talking about with Winston and Newton, which is 1 year, prove it, no money up front, no money on the books this year, incentives that would apply next year, and you're still not going to make a lot of money. It's a one-year rehab deal, and that's it, free. So that's the only way I would take Matt Ryan. I don't like Matt Ryan, but again, that would be, I'd put it in the same category, Maz, as, well, if you get him for free, that's tough to pass up when you don't have really a true quarterback.
So the only way I want any of these free guys, though, is that if Bill doesn't think Stidham can play, or at least not play yet. And so if Bill thinks Stidham can play and that he's ready to take on some of it now, then I'm going with Stidham. I know what all those other guys are, and I don't want the Patriots to, A, you know, jeopardize a guy who has a potential long-term future. By the way, I did look up Kessler. He went to USC. I had no idea.
Okay, so what was I just going to say on that?
I know I would love to relive the Drew Bledsoe era. Let's bring back Matt Ryan, a big arm stiff with hollow stats. And let's bring him home. Like anyone even cares that he went to BC anyway, please.
Yeah, you're not bringing him home. Thank you for pointing. Maybe that's what I was thinking. Just because he went to BC doesn't mean he's going
home. Pennsylvania.
Good God, people in Boston don't even care about Boston College. Mickey in North Attleboro. Go ahead, Mickey.
We care less.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just think it's kind of ludicrous that you guys aren't in on Jameis Winston if you're getting for basically free, especially you, Murray. I mean, in most turnover-worthy plays in a single season, guess who was first? Obviously, Jameis. He had 40 last season. Guess who was second? Carson Palmer, 40 in his rookie year with Bruce Arians. Third, Andrew Luck, 40, first season with Bruce Arians. It's just ridiculous. It's the coaching. It's not him. He's the youngest player to ever reach a Pro Bowl. He has the second most passing yards and touchdowns by the age of 25, and Belichick would groom him. You guys are ridiculous. I'm going to hang up and see what you guys got to say.
Okay, Murray, you answer the man.
I'm good on Jameis Winston. I've said my piece on Jameis Winston. He's a dope. He's a pervert. He's a grabbed Uber driver waiting to happen again. And he makes terrible decision after terrible decision. I don't care who the coach is. Bruce Arians, Belichick, whoever it happens to be. He stinks. You swung and missed as a first-round draft pick. He had a lot of talent coming out of Florida State. That's it. It hasn't worked. I'm good with Jameis Winston. I wouldn't take him if he paid the Patriots to take him.
And I don't care about volume stats like yards and the quantity. Look, anybody can put up big numbers if you just keep throwing it. But to me, the position is about efficiency. If you're not efficient, forget it.
Okay, let's look at his efficiency numbers, shall we? I mean, he doesn't stink, Murray. See, this is your problem.
He stinks.
He doesn't stink. He's mistake prone. He's imperfect. He's raw. He's something. He doesn't suck.
He's okay? A loser.
I mean, if you want to tell me Brian Hoyer sucks, like, I like him. I think he's okay. Brian Hoyer might suck. Like, he has no physical ability. Jameis Winston has physical ability. He doesn't suck. Completion percentages the last 4 years, 60.8, 63.8, 64.6, 60.7. So like, I don't know. Is that feels decently efficient to me. Did he have a higher completion percentage? 60.7, what was Brady last year?
Okay, but again, Mike, what's the average in the league now? Brady this past year, the passing game for the Patriots wasn't good. So let's not compare him to Brady. Tampa Bay had tremendous weapons in that passing game. And I'm not telling you their offensive line was great. I just think this guy makes too many mistakes. I'm with Murray on this.
I mean, there was a stretch. He had 10 turnovers in a span of two games. Fumbles, throws picks. He makes some of the worst decisions I've ever seen in my life in all my years of watching football. And after 5 years, there really hasn't been that much of a progression in his game. He's probably gotten worse. 30 picks last year. He sucks. There's talent, but he sucks.
Okay, I can't believe I'm arguing for Jameis Winston, who I've never liked as a player once. Like, I've never said one good thing about him. But I feel myself, you know, having to take the side of common sense of if he's free and to tell me that he's a talentless bum is just wrong.
27th in passer rating last season. 27th.
Yeah, I mentioned completion percentage.
Yeah, and I'm giving you passer rating. I'm telling you he sucks also.
I purposely left out the passer rating.
I know.
Because his passer ratings blow. Here are his passer ratings as a pro. I'll go back to his rookie year. 84.2, 86.1, 92.2. That's his high watermark. 90.2 and 84.3. He's a career 86.9 quarterback rating guy. Those numbers absolutely blow gopher chunks. Those are horrible numbers. And I don't even know what gopher chunks are.
But Tommy Quinn, he's free. Bring him to New England.
He's free. Yeah. It's free. Tom, go ahead.
Gopher chunks. What? Listen, I called you guys way back, way. I want to say even maybe it was like October about Newton. And that was only because we didn't know what the hell was going to happen with Brady. And I was said back then, you know, if he does retire, you know, not that I care for this player. Do I want this player? Would it be worth the Pats bringing a guy in like Cam Newton? And Murray, I felt like he was going to throw up when I said it. I don't want the guy either. But when I said it then, that was only because Kyle Allen was on fire for them. And then they, you know, they kind of tanked and they traded that kid and signed Bridgewater. He's not – Cam Newton, one, I think he's beat to death. But I can't see, like, his ego and stuff. He's not taking some one-year prove-it deal. He's got.
Okay, Tom, I'm just going to cut you off. Like, I agree with that point. I don't think Cam Newton would subjugate himself, and it would start with the contract. And so, fine. If he's not willing to come here on a cheap money one-year prove-it deal, great. That solves the problem. Like, fine. I don't really want him anyway. But the debate here, Tom, is if he got some advice that said just – take a couple million bucks for 1 year in New England, go to the playoffs, win some playoff games, and then go bank in free agency. And he's willing to do that. If he's willing to do that. And again, him subjugating his personality a little bit, I think starts with the money. It's where that's how the Patriots always judge it. Like, they knew Randy Moss would conform, at least at first, because he took a pay cut. And they had a good indication that Corey Dillon would play ball with him early on because he took a pay cut. The money talks. So if Cam Newton agreed to a deal that was, again, for all intents and purposes, no money. That would tell them that he's willing to play ball. And at that point, is that talent that is just too much to pass up, Maz?
Okay, so look, again, I told you, to me, it's about Stidham more than it is about the Newton in particular. If they have doubts about Stidham's ability to do it, to do the job and process all the information and take over in 2020, then my answer is yes. Go get yourself Cam Newton. I'm okay with that as a stopgap guy. If they think they need a stopgap quarterback, then by all means, Cam Newton, fine. But if they don't, if they are truly committed to Stidham and the process of finding the next guy and they think Stidham has a chance, then my answer is no. What's yours?
Yes on Newton. Yes.
Because no matter what?
Well, no. If he's free, you know, and okay. He does the things that I just said. Even if they like Stidham, because you admit, if Brady had taken the Patriots' crappy one-year offer, Brady's back. So, you know, I think they had it in their mind that Brady was going to cave and we're going to go one more year with Brady and then go to Stidham. So I think the original master plan, the grand master plan, was to have Stidham wait just one more year. But, you know, Brady told them to go F themselves. So what if you could just replace Brady for that 1 year with someone like Cam Newton? I would do it if he's, again, the if starts with him and his contract and his attitude and is he willing to do it. That talent's too much to pass up if there's nothing in return, you know, and it costs you nothing. Too much talent to pass up. Winston, I'm sort of arguing for the sake of it because I think Murray's lost his mind. Like,
no, everyone, I'm just right.
Everyone blows. Like, not everyone blows, Murray.
Take this steak and lobster dinner. It's been coughed on, but it's free.
Back with more after this.
Belger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the program, Felger and Maserati. We promised you before a little Bruins check-in, a little NHL check-in, and let's do it now with our buddy Ty Anderson. You can catch him on our website, 985thesportshub.com. Ty, how you doing, buddy? You hanging in there?
What's going on?
You bored out of your boobs yet or what?
Yes, absolutely. I almost miss you guys. It's been so long. It's really weird.
You know what? I don't think you're the only one that feels that way, which is really the odd thing in this whole situation.
Yeah, I don't miss you, Ty.
Oh, thanks,
Dad. All right, Ty, so this is your sport. You tell me, what do you think we're looking at for a return of the NHL? We're going to get one, and what is it going to look like?
Well, when they first put everything on pause, they sort of said that May 15th was their target date. I don't think that's happening now. You look at the, sort of the way the country is and where we're trending, I think June is more likely. I still want to see regular season games in some fashion. I don't think you can go from not playing for 2 months or 3 months to just the most intense competition in the world. So I want to see how that shakes out, but I don't think you're going to get 15 games.
Okay, so I agree with you. June, you think that's on the table? So the people you talk to, they're talking like they even mentioned June?
No, I think this whole schedule they've had has gone out the window now. I think now you're looking at July or August. I think I'm being an optimist here, and it's my mistake. I really should be an optimist, but I'm saying that I think that June was where I wanted them to be, but I don't think that's going to happen now. So I think you're looking at deep summer here, but again, how do you do it? Where do you do it? Can you do it here? Can you do it in the home arenas? Can you have fans there? So many questions right now and absolutely zero answers, and they don't hide from that. Bill Daly said, we don't know. The dates are meaningless.
Maz?
So, Ty, do you have any particular feeling that, let's just say, you know, for the sake of discussion, that they do get back on the ice eventually here, and I know the time frame's a factor. Do you have an opinion on what they should do with those final couple of spots and what the playoff format should look like? Do you have a strong feeling there?
I do, in the sense that I don't want a 24-team playoff. You guys were talking earlier. I mean, Montreal had 71 games to prove that they were a playoff team. They didn't. They're 10 points out of it. They don't deserve to be in the mix here. But you look at the East, right? You have five teams within 4 points of one another. I think the Rangers, for example, deserve a chance to show that they're in the playoffs. They've been the fifth best team in hockey since January 1st. So what I would do, and this is just my idea here, is that you have the teams that are in right now, right? In the East, that's Carolina and Columbus. They play the teams that are right behind them, the Islanders and the Rangers. It's a mini series, right? You operate as if the teams that are currently in have a 3-2 series lead. So they need to win one game. The teams chasing them need to win two games. And if you win, hey, you're in. You got a chance. So I don't want to reward everyone who sucked this year, but I do think that the teams that are close or nipping on the heels deserve a real opportunity to get in.
Okay, so I think, you know, that's interesting, Ty. We can, you know, dink around with those sort of things. The other plan is to just have a mini regular season to the point where everyone has the same amount of games, right? You know, because there's games in hand right now. And so the number, I was just looking at the standings. Some teams have played 69. Some have played 71. You know, the number is 74. So you play as many regular season games as it takes to get everybody to 74. And then you don't need to go point percentage. You don't need to go play in. You just go the top eight in each conference and off you go. And that also gives the top teams a little tune-up, which I think they need, Ty, because I think there's an unfair advantage there if you have a play-in with those fringe teams while the top seeds are just sitting there, and then you get to the quote-unquote second round or the first round that the Bruins would be in. They've been sitting there for 4 months while this other team just played a little series and got their feet wet. I think that's an unfair advantage for those smaller teams. So just play a little regular season.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And the other part of it, too, that this could almost undo some of the wrongs of the NHL schedule, which they want you to go through your division, but you don't play your division much at all. So when you come back, have some divisional games, have these games mean something at the same time, so everyone's on equal footing. Like, for example, you get another Boston-Tampa Bay matchup, you get another Toronto-Boston matchup, you know, you get Washington against Pittsburgh. Make these games matter and get the emotion back into it as well. So I think people are going to watch no matter what, but when this comes back, I want it to be, okay, well, you know, I don't want it to be we're just picking up where we left off and the Bruins got to play Florida, and they got to play these guys. I want these games to matter and be a proper tune-up for these playoff teams.
Okay, Ty Anderson, 985thesportshub.com. We can screw around with this, you know, for months, and we will. You know, I actually enjoy talking about it. But practically speaking, can they pull it off, whatever the format is? And so do you think they're going to do something like they are in the NBA with these centralized cities and teams showing up to one city and multiple teams in one city and playing each other there? And there's four cities or four buildings that they play in. And if so, where do you think they're looking at for locations? And tell me what you're hearing on that.
Well, I don't like that idea. I think that's sort of a worst-case scenario for them. I think now you're opening the door to, okay, where is it going to be? Do you know if that building's going to be safe, that city's going to be safe? No one knows right now. I mean, every city in the world is basically being affected by this. North America feels that way. So do you give Seattle a look? Is that arena ready? Do you have anything there? I don't know. I want these to be in NHL buildings. And also the idea, too, is, well, what if you put – do you really want to put Boston – you know, the Bruins really far away from Boston, or if you put them close enough, is that an unfair advantage logistically? It opens the door to teams complaining and whining about their situation. So I don't know. This is a baby to me. You know, the Stanley Cup playoffs are my favorite thing in sports. I don't want to bastardize them. I still want them, but I want them to be as close to what they are as they can be. So I don't want a March Madness style where you have four cities and they play in those four cities.
Well, I'll tell you what, pal, I think you're looking for too much. I mean, if you think, you know, Boston and Philadelphia are going to have a series where they play four games in Boston and three in Philly and they're flying back and forth and playing in these buildings, you're smoking crack. I don't think we're close to having that. I think the things that I was talking about is the best you're going to get. Maz, do you have another question?
Well, I was going to say, Ty, in your scenario, the amount of time you're going to have to wait to be able to pull it off is longer, and it's less likely. I'm sort of with Mike on that one. What I would ask you, too, is in your opinion, given the way the year was going, do you think that any layoff, and let alone a significant one, is going to help the Bruins or hurt them?
I think it's gonna help guys like Brandon Carlo, who last time we saw him, he had his third concussion in 3 years' time. I think it's going to help Chara. It's going to help Bergeron. The guys I worry about, David Pastrnak, he was in such a rhythm. You know, does he have that when he comes back? Tuukka Rask was tracking the puck really well, playing the best I've ever seen him play. So I worry about those guys. Some secondary guys I worry about. Andre Kasha, getting his rhythm back after having time off, missing games in Anaheim. Nick Ritchie, is he going to be in game shape? He's a big boy. You know, when you saw him, I was like, wow, this is a big dude. And I wonder if he's going to be in game shape. Yeah, that's the other way to put it. So I wonder if he's going to be in game shape. So I worry about some guys, but I think it's going to be beneficial for the top of the roster and some of your more important pieces, namely Bergeron and Chara, getting that rest, some of that recovery. This sort of does their bidding for them here in the sense of they don't want these guys playing too many hard minutes before the playoffs. Well, now they're not going to get that, so we'll see.
Okay, you mentioned Rask. You can also put on the list now. He's openly been talking about retirement now, which he has in the past, but it's, you know, even ramped up, it feels like, in the last week or so. So how would you view that with him in terms of is this a good thing or a bad thing if you're a Bruins fan? That, you know, he knows he's only got one more kick at the can, two more kicks at the can, and this is it. He's going all out. I'm going to focus in on this because this could be it for him. Or he's already got his eyes on something else, and it distracts him, and now you add this layoff into that. And so how do you handicap that?
He's walked back those comments a little bit. I think with Rask, it's just he just says whatever he kind of wants at that point in time. Maybe he was having a bad day. Who's to say? But I think that with Tuukka, yeah, the odds would say that this is it for him no matter what. I just think the track record of goalies once they enter age 35 and up is not that promising. So he only has two more kicks at it. Maybe this is his best and his last chance in Boston. Projecting long-term, it's hard to say what's going to happen there. I mean, they could sign Halak, but he's going to be 35, so any contract he has, the money is sort of guaranteed on a long-term deal. They have guys in the minors, but yeah, with Tuukka, I think given what happened last year, and we can argue about Game 7 until we're blue in the face, I know we have, I just think that he needs that cup, and I think he knows that. The way he's played this year, he seems dialed in. He seems like he really wants it. He's ready to kind of close the door on that narrative again. I think, and I agree with you, Mike, you said this before, put him in that spot again, and he wins. So I think mentally, I think he's dialed in.
Of course you agree with that. I knew that one would get you Bobos on my side. Like, that's an easy one. Ty, overall, last question, okay? However it looks when they come back, if they do come back, okay? And we're talking in the summer. That layoff, does it help or hurt the Bruins?
I'm going to say that it helps them. I'm going to say it helps because I think they're on the same footing as everybody else. And if Carlo's healthy, I think he's been their best defenseman this year. So I like that.
Okay. You're not worried about, I mean, they were just on such a roll, Ty. They were the best team in the league wire to wire. And they were playing good at the end, like they were playing good at the beginning. And anything that interrupts that is, well, there's only one way to go. You know what I'm saying? That they, it slows their roll. That doesn't worry you at all?
No, because the teams that worried me are the Lightning. And even, I know it sounds a little weird, the Flyers worried me a little bit. Those teams are on rolls, too. Everyone's been put back at step one here.
Okay, Ty, thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Well, you're still writing on 98.5thesportshub.com, right?
Absolutely, writing right now. So okay, I'm going to go back to that now.
Okay, go back to that. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it, kid. See you, Ty.
Anytime.
Okay, we've got that. We can weigh in on that. We're also going to do a little something that we do from time to time. It's really a specialty of the weekend show, the Murray and Gasper extravaganza. The five questions that have nothing to do with sports. And this is a timely thing now because there are no sports. So you think Maz and I would have a little bit more of a clue, but we'll see. Five questions that have nothing to do with sports with Big Jim Murray, Felger, and Maz right after Murray's update.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Mike Felger and Tony Maz.
I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five! One, two, three, four, five!
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, you fellas ready?
Oh, I'm ready, Murray.
All right.
I'm ready.
As ready as I'm going to be.
We don't know what's coming. This is usually a complete bleep show because Maz and I, especially me, a little sporty, not much on the pop culture scene. So this is where we get exposed, Murray. Go ahead.
Well, I'm specifically not really going to ask you many pop culture questions. I'm going to actually try to benefit you and just give you kind of generic questions and see how we can work this thing out here. But we'll start Mike and then Tony, all right? Because there's going to be the delay. The whole thing's going to be awkward.
You.
So let's just do it like that. Question number one, what has been the one thing that has driven you to near insanity while you've been quarantined at home so far?
I'm sorry, this is just so typical, but no ball, no sports. It's such a part of my life. I come home, it's like, I don't watch TV shows because I come back to watch a ball game to get ready for the show the next day. Murray, my life, work, family, and that's it. Work, family. I don't have a third thing. I don't do religion. It's work, family, and sports is work. And so I come home and there's a ball game on. Never mind the fact that I like it. So not having that presence is it. It's a big one for me. It really is.
So is this why we saw the Wood post a video of you and the family dancing to Billie Eilish's "Bad Guy" the other night?
Oh, had to have been. Had to have been. Why? Yep, you bet.
Maz.
A little too much togetherness, Murray. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's really like, good God, there's nowhere to escape. I find myself like going into the bedroom, curling up like with some crossword puzzles just to hide the crowd. I'm just not used to spending this much time with people in the house. No, it's excruciating.
Yeah, at the Murray house, it's the poor sleep. I snore too much, makes her crazy, and like we're going to end up killing each other here soon. Question number two. Besides sports, Mike, what do you miss most right now?
Oh, besides sports, travel. Travel. And the flexibility. My folks live in Florida, so we love going down there and visiting there. That's an easy visit that we can't even complete. I've told this to you. I must have canceled five or six trips. You know, I'm usually gone a week in March and blah, blah, blah. Never mind the February week. So I'm okay working every day, but that little travel thing in there. I don't mind being holed up in the house. Let me just say that. I can grind it out in the house with the family. Like, I'm okay with that. I like not going out. I think one of the silver linings is that I'm not getting dragged out somewhere by the Wood. I'm okay staying home every night. Like, that's fine with me. But
built to be a hermit.
I really am. I'm comfortable with that. This part of it's good. I do like, though, to get on a plane every now and then and go somewhere. So that's been the thing I miss.
Maz?
So I'd say variety, Murray, and I know that's sort of a generic, like, boring response. But, for example, can I go out to dinner?
Can I just get out of the house and go to dinner or go to a movie? Or if I have to run into a store, do I have to, like, plan the whole thing and they can only let so many people in at one time? Like, the freedom of movement, to me, I just drives me bananas. I need to move. Yeah. I need to constantly need to move. Or it's not
going to
work.
Yeah, going to restaurants. It doesn't even have to be a good restaurant. Just going to a bar, being able to hang with a wife, some friends, have a burger, some drinks. I desperately miss that.
Oh, I'll tell you, just to cut you out, I consider that one of the benefits of this thing.
Of course.
I don't have to go out. Oh, my God, there's some things that I want to, you know, make as a permanent policy. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Question number three. What's your most Alex Jonesian take? In other words, what's a conspiracy you wholeheartedly believe, but if you were to say it out loud, people think you're a kook?
Oh, but am I going to get in trouble if I say it?
Oh, it depends. I mean, is it like...
Yes. I mean, I do have some conspiracy theories related to the Chinese government and their people. But if I tell you exactly what it is, you know, someone at the Globe's going to want me fired.
Well,
so,
go with one that won't get you fired, because it sounds like you got more than a few.
I mean, no, I'm afraid it's going to get me fired. No.
All right, Maz?
No, I'm not going to say it. Yeah, I'm a little reluctant myself, Murray, if you want to know the truth. But I'll give you one that, you know, if we're talking Alex Jones theories, there are days where I wonder if Trump couldn't possibly be as stupid as he sounds. I wonder if, like, it's all some, I don't want to say an act, but some sort of, like, dumb like a fox type of thing. I just wonder whether there is sometimes a method to the madness. There's got to be, or maybe it's just all a reflection on us and who we elected.
Well, so, I mean, let me jump in and say, you know, it's a mini conspiracy theory. There may have been some sort of play here in terms of the testing and keeping us out of the hospitals and telling us there's not tests, because if we knew there were tests, we'd all show up at the hospital and it'd be even worse. You know, but something like maybe they're managing the message. I'm talking not domestically. They're managing the message somehow in there to help out the responders in the hospitals. I think there might be something at play there. I don't know.
So I had asked this one to Gasper over the weekend, and he actually turns out doesn't really believe in the moon landing. And mine is, if you've ever read the Unabomber's manifesto, granted, bad guy killed people, but he was spot on in that thing. In terms of our technological reliance, the stronger the technology makes society, the less freedoms. Mike, I actually think you'd like it. So,
Hold on. Gasper doesn't believe in the moon landing?
No, not really.
What?
Yeah,
that caught my attention too, Murray.
Yeah.
Say what?
Yeah, thinks it was a whole thing set on stage, and it was a made-for-TV event.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's a hell of a take.
Something you can press him on Friday.
Okay.
Question number four. Besides the essentials, food, toilet paper, that kind of thing, are either of you actually buying anything now? Electronics, clothes? Maz, I know you love your electronics. Anything like that? Mike?
No, which is another thing. Like, I'm not a consumer. Like Maz said, you know, I have to plan out going to a store. I don't go to effing stores. Like on the best day. What, am I going to go shopping? Like, so, no. I made some forays into the grocery store, so I've been the one on the front lines here in the Felger household. Other than that, no, sir, nothing.
Maz?
So, yes, I've actually, I bought a couple of things, most notably Murray, and this is actually, you know, there was a use for it. My father, you know, we're limited to contact and communication with my father, who likes to see us. My mother died 2.5 years ago. He doesn't like being alone. So I did buy him a Facebook portal, which is basically like a video phone, and it simplifies the process for him.
How's that
going? I ordered it online. And so, you know, we can call him on that, and he can do FaceTime with us without having to figure it out on his laptop or phone or whatever else. It's just, this is nice and simple for him.
I was going to ask, has he figured it out?
Yeah, it rings. All he has to do is press answer and hang up. It's like perfect.
If someone sent that to me, I'd be throwing it against the wall because I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah,
Murray, what are you buying?
Nothing. I mean, outside of that Brady Tampa getup that I had on a couple of Mondays ago, I stare at eBay and Amazon. And I'm like, what's the point? I'm not buying anything. Like, if anything, I'll have money at the end of this, whenever the hell it ends.
Exact. Another silver lining. We're spending less.
Finally, if this keeps up, do you see yourself taking up a vice? Smoking, autoerotic asphyxiation, whatever. Something like that?
Red wine on a more regular basis. I'm generally not a drink-at-home guy. You've seen me drink, you know, but I like to do it as a, you know, I go out and I drink. I'm generally not, I think, it could be a little dangerous drinking at home. Maybe I take it up a little bit more after this, because there's been a little more red wine being drank in these last couple of weeks.
Maz?
Drinking. Absolutely 100% drinking. No two ways about it. Like, again, I'm not a huge drink-at-home guy either, but I have found myself a couple of times here in the last couple of weeks cracking something open or, you know, craving a vodka soda. Like, something like that. Absolutely drinking. No two ways about it.
Oh, it's without question booze. I think it's been booze or wine pretty much every night, even if it's just a sip. Like, oh, I'm having some trouble falling asleep here. Oh, bourbon, come here. So, there you go. And so
Can I add a sixth one?
Oh, please, yes.
Give me a silver lining. Give me I mentioned a few along the course of the way here, Maz. What are you going to look back and say that was actually pretty neat and value add during this time?
So I actually think there's a half decent chance here that I'm going to get probably in pretty good shape. So, you know, I have more time at home, a little more free time to exercise and really eat a little bit better. I just have to eat less. But the big part really is the exercise part of it. I think there's a chance I'm going to get into pretty good shape.
How about that? So what do you do? How about that question? What do you do for exercise at home?
So mostly treadmill and bike, those things. And then, you know, I don't really do anything with weights. I do some stuff with resistance bands, things of the like. They're mostly flexibility-oriented. You know, all the stuff that people are pliability, you know, the whole Tom Brady bull crap.
Do you guys take any classes with your wife? I've started to do this. Put the laptop up on the table there, and it's doing kind of a core bar classes. I started to do this with the wood.
My trainer actually 3 days a week still is doing me the same days, except we just do it via FaceTime now. And then I bought Jasmine one of those mirrors for Christmas or birthday.
Oh, cool.
And so I've been using that too to do yoga classes. Oh, Maz, you'd love it. It's the future. It's apps. It's everything, you know, and it's, you know, it's like a hot trainer in the mirror that you'd be gawking at. It's everything you'd want.
Oh, Maz would make a mess all over that mirror, right. If I know Maz.
Just to answer your question, I work out alone. I generally don't want anybody around me. Get out of my way.
Okay. So that concludes, Murray. Five questions with an added bonus there on that. Thank you so much. We'll come back, and all you sitting here on the lines to call tomorrow, too. Okay? We'll need you then, and we'll pick up everything we mentioned today, including the movement at the quarterback position for the Patriots, if you can believe it. But the final word comes your way next.
Dugger Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, and the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
Are they even there? All right. Well, okay. Well, there was a little bit of puck talk today, including a spot with Ty Anderson, who you should be reading at 98.5thesportshub.com. And with that also came anger about the projected NFL playoffs if it were to play out the way it's now been talked about, which means the Montreal Canadiens might actually get into this damn thing.
So, look, I don't mind the idea of you tell me that there were a couple of teams on the bubble that we have to play in. So instead of a clear-cut field of 16, that we're going to go to 20, and then those, you know, those last eight are going to play for four spots, you know, one game each or whatever. I'm fine with something minimal like that. But here's my problem with this whole idea of we got to keep people happy because teams are going to get screwed out of a playoff spot. They've played how many games this year in the NHL? I mean, we're talking about what these teams
about
have played
70.
Upwards of. Yeah, they've played almost a full season. Mike, in 2013, they had a 44-game regular season, and they didn't change the playoff structure. So why is it that all of a sudden, now that they have played 70, that they're worried about screwing the teams that aren't in? The sample size, to me, is big enough. If you didn't make it by this point, too bad. Tough break. The last 12 games of the season got chopped off, or the last 15 games of the season got chopped off, and so there were some inequities. But not so long ago, they were willing to play a 44-game schedule, and that was plenty to determine who the good teams were. Like, I wouldn't bend over backwards to accommodate teams that were ranked 23rd or 24th in the league. I wouldn't do it.
The other thing I don't like about that 24-team tournament, Maz, is that while the eight teams are having that little play-in round, you're sitting there with your Schmenzer in your hand, and whatever team comes out of that little play-in round is going to have all this momentum. They're going to have their feet wet. They're going to have been played and have played games with playoff intensity. And you haven't played in 3 months. I hate that. I hate that whole idea. And that to me would be a bad idea. Come back and have a little mini regular season and get everyone to 74 games. And that will clean everything up. Montreal is the 12 seed. Good God, that would make me sick to my stomach. Seriously. Claude gets in the playoffs after sucking an egg for another season? Give me a break.
That would be garbage.
Oh, garbage. And then you know what would happen. You'd face them and they'd beat you.
Right.
Like, that's just like, that's just the way it would happen.
It would just be so Bruins given their history. And
You can't make the regular season totally irrelevant either. Like, you know, why do you have to bend over backwards after 70 games to give teams another chance? It's not like they played 20 games.
Give me a break. I'm with you.